Welcome to Explorers Wanted. We are a weekly Numenera actual play podcast. I will be your sweet and kind and gentle GM, Daniel Anderlich. With me today is Stace Babcock.
I actually don't consent to be recorded. Daniel, I'm going to need you to go through and just cut out all of my audio from this episode.
Easy enough. You're on your own track. Alex Finn.
I'm in between trying to reduce the background noise that I give Daniel and to like bring in the most annoying thing in the world. Listeners, if I disappear, it's because I started building a Gundam during this recording session.
Accurate. Samson Davis.
Alex, if you do that, this whole episode will just be focused on you and your character, and you will not get a chance to breathe. Hi, hello. Listeners, it's fucking hot right now. But you know what's keeping me cool? Well, no, it's actually getting me pumped up. But it's just the thought of Die Hard Dice and their beautiful dice. I'm looking at what they got right now at time of recording. They got this, honestly, very candy-like set that I know you're not supposed to eat, but it's purples and pinks and these blues. Oh, this blue looks so nice.
It does really look like gummies. It does.
Oh, and they have small versions of all this. Oh, Die Hard Dice, how could you do this to these people who are totally going to buy all this? Because this is fucking great. Listeners, be warned. Don't go on to Die Hard Dice. Don't look at these beautiful acrylic sets. And you're going to want to buy them. And when you do, use our code EXPLORERS1 and get 10% off your order. You're helping the sports channel. You're getting these dangerously delicious looking dice. I assume. I don't know. Anyway, Die Hard Dice. EXPLORERS1 to check out. 10% off your order. Back to the good part of the episode.
So, who remembers what happened last time? I'm going to pick on Samson.
So, last episode, we started by waiting for 2 hours, waiting for Odalai, who is our Bricker contact, right? The Brickers?
Brisker.
The Brisker contact. So, yeah, we were waiting at their place for a little bit because we wanted to hand off the ledger to Odalai in person. Meanwhile, Magpie spot a nice little diamond that she wanted to get her mitts on. So after we made the trade, we headed out. Ezri went back to the Enclave. Ilsen went back to her safe house. And Magpie stuck around to look at the guard movements of the Brisker's warehouse. Meanwhile, Ezri gets back. Enclave needs supplies, but people of the Enclave are still a little freaked out that Ezri has been gone for the past few days. And Ezri has more PTSD in response. So Ilsen, meanwhile, has a little cry back at her place. But the fun part of that episode was Magpie sneaking back into the Brisker's house, past some guards. Apparently there's a Brisker in there who was into dolls. I don't remember that, but I wrote that down. Magpie finds the diamond, snags that, steals a cipher on the way out, and then has the audacity to go to Ilsen's work and pop it in her desk for Ilsen to find. Thank you. But rude. Magpie goes and then gives the diamond to a Singlet's person, who I think is it clear to the audience that Singlet is like her handler or something? Or
yeah,
that kind of thing? Okay.
Yeah, he appeared in her session zero, and he's the one who gave her the job to do that at the Briskers.
Gotcha. So then Ferdinand is just kind of like a annoying senpai kind of character, not exactly a boss.
Yeah, he's...
coworker.
He works in the same industry.
He's the one coworker you can tolerate and you only talk shit to.
So yeah, Ilsen then goes to work. Ezri does some maintenance. I think like a few days pass, more than 2 days, less than five, that kind of thing. Ilsen finds some information on the finger. We learn that the finger isn't like a self-declared moniker. Somebody, presumably in the police department or the Lathe Weekly, was just the first one to come up with that. And I've just been calling these different, associating these various different thieveries with this moniker. Mostly been industrial thefts, and there's no MO or calling card. That was like one thing. It just, objects just seem to disappear. That's about it as an MO for the finger.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not like double birdies on the way out. That's not their MO.
Finger. No one's seen them, so no one can confirm. So that's what Ilsen figures out. Magpie met with Ferdinand. And we learned that Ferdinand has a cover somewhere. So that's cool. Ilsen also does some poking around on the surface city, see what's happened in the last few days. Anything that has to do with the Senator Stibbs incident, there's been no noise about that. Anything that happened there has been hush-hush. Magpie is being looked for by the Transit Guild. And the cops are on the lookout for a cop killer. They just had a picture of the cop mask that Ezri was wearing, but no picture of Ezri's face, which is important. Sen talked to a transit guild guy. And then on her way down to the Enclave, Ferdinand stops by, and Ferdinand seems to know who the Finger is, but doesn't want to share. So, bleh. So, yeah, he leaves Ilsen with a calling card, with an address, and also points out that Magpie has been tailing Ilsen, and points out her position. Thanks. And then we ended last episode with Ezri having a rather hectic episode while cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Had kind of a vision nightmare while you were stirring the pot.
Literally stirring the pot, literally. Not figuratively.
You were literally stirring the pot, and then it stirred back.
Stir not into the abyss.
So, Ilsen, you've just spotted Magpie down the street.
Alex, is Magpie wearing a mask?
No.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. So, Magpie, you see, like, Ilsen just give you, like, the fucking, like, dirtiest look, like, oh, fucking this bitch. And then while Ilsen is still in the alleyway, she will quickly change her face to, I don't know, some older 40-year-old woman, and then walk across the way to Magpie, very casually.
Okay.
When she gets close, she'll say, put on your fucking mask.
Why?
Put on your mask. You are a little too famous right now.
Oh, come on. Some of us are stealthy, unlike them.
No. You are not stealthy. You were seen. Your face is everywhere on the surface city. Put on your fucking mask.
Magpie will begrudgingly, like, put on her mask.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you up to on this fine day?
Following you.
Did you want to confirm that the present that you gave me made its way? Because it did. Thank you.
Well, I was bored, and you're the only one who really goes anywhere, so...
All right, well, I was on my way to see Ezri. So how about you follow me? I actually have some questions I would like to ask you, if you don't mind.
Tit for tat.
Oh, all right. Magpie, how long have you been in this city?
As long as I can remember.
Which is how long?
I think Magpie just kind of stares at you like, for as long as I can remember. That's the fucking answer.
All right. What are the seasons like in Laith? Is there...
There are seasons, but the temperature doesn't necessarily fluctuate a ton. The exception is that in high summer, you can suddenly get like a span of like a couple days at a time where the temperature clocks up to almost like tropical-like, which are rough times in the Warrens.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then it's also just sort of a fact of life that if a pulse happens, it's usually warm weather for the week after.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But not natural heat. Like, it's clearly, like, heat radiating from that direction.
Mm-hmm. Summer occasionally gets very, very hot. Winter is a kind of just rainy season with that occasionally becomes snow, like that kind of thing.
Right.
How many times has it gotten cold in the city while you've been here?
Well, you've made Alex math it now.
As many as I can remember.
Well, define cold and just... It just does, doesn't it?
Get cold in the city? Yeah, every year?
Yeah.
All right.
I would like to offer Alex an XP.
Where's everyone else standing?
I have no XP.
3.
Okay, I guess Ilsen has to get the XP, because...
Okay. Magpie, you're not exactly sure why. I mean, you like doing, you know, research for things. You do occasionally like to read, but... For some reason in your head, when Ilsen asks that, you suddenly have this weird little bit of knowledge. Like, at some point, you must have, for who knows what reason, memorized a local almanac for the weather in Laith that spanned, you know, memorize is a strong word, but, like, the knowledge is there of that theme for, like, 50 years. Obviously, it wouldn't cover anything like pulse weather or anything like that.
ADHD learned it, yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
He was just super into weather one year. I mean, technically, for the last 50 years, it's been relatively balmy. Nothing too cold, so define cold.
Like the local temperature minimum for a year. Relatively cold.
What, like, temperature system does this city use? Like Fahrenheit, Celsius?
Schmigeldoon.
I mean, it's the ninth world, so who knows? It's also not clear. Well, actually, Laith, because of the way they are into sort of industrial manufacture processes, probably does have a way that they might measure it more regularly. But you can use whatever measurement system you want, because it's the real one is just ninth world, whatever.
Squeebles.
Mm-hmm. It's 90 crippets.
Oh, no. I was going to say, well, for the last 5 years, it hasn't gotten below 4 degrees Celsius.
What?
Although back in about 20 years ago, it did quite often go below zero.
Are you reading off of something? All right, maybe this is a dead end. I know you probably can't tell me much about your usual work, but what's your specialty, would you say?
Observation.
This is a walk and talk that's happening right now, right?
Yeah.
Observation. I'm really good at following and observing.
Mm.
You just experienced it. How was it?
Adequate.
I wonder when you would have found me.
Bitch.
Oh, man. Trying to be catty as a character without also accidentally being mean as a person is very difficult.
But this is fun.
All right. So just observation, just being a voyeur.
I mean, some people just like to watch.
Mm.
Sometimes you do have to jump in, get your hands dirty a little, poke around a little, but mainly watching. People like hiring me to watch.
Back at Senator Stipp's mansion, like, two people feel a weird shiver down their spine for no reason.
Poke around a little.
All right, well, have you heard of the finger?
This one? And she flips you off immediately.
Oh, very mature. No, the finger. They're a well-known thief of sorts up on the surface city.
I mean, I prefer talking about the spider. I think that one's way more interesting.
Oh.
Exactly.
Tell me about the spider.
Well, they do very interesting jobs. They go in, poke around, and leave just a little origami spider as their calling card.
What do they take?
Everything.
Everything?
I mean, everything that's funny.
Like what? Do they take jewels, art, like information?
Kidneys, yes.
They're an organ thief?
I mean, for the right price, anybody will be. Oh, we have a side quest we could do once I get high enough tier. We could just start a black market organ ring. So much fun.
I don't know what that is, but we will not do that. All right, you said tit for tat. Do you have questions?
How long has baby been here?
I've been here for a little more or less than a year.
What made you interested in the light-handed arts?
What kept my head above water back in Margothy?
This is you improved?
Oh, yes.
Wow. I mean, I'm surprised you have both your hands left.
Oh, my God. It's astounding to hear you speak like this when you're the single most unprofessional thief I've ever met. You just wander in, and you don't even think about what needs to be done. You don't think about the trail that you are leaving. It's a miracle a ghoul hasn't popped out of the woodwork and dragged you down to some forgotten hole.
I know. It's like, I'm better than you.
So then we cut back to Ezri. Everybody's sat down for the meal of stew and is munching along. Zidon mentions as he's eating stew, like, this is amazing. But, you know, we got a little bit of a pest problem.
Do we?
Yeah, Tivu, like, looks like she's about to ask the same question, and she starts talking at the same time as you.
Wait, nope. Go ahead.
We do? What kind of pest problem? I'm not sure, but some of the food that Ezri brought back, something's been nibbling on it. And the mouth's too big for one of those little cave lizards, so I'm not sure.
Well, we'll take a look after we eat.
Okay.
This stew tastes so good.
Yasmin looks up, like, you think so? I added something a little extra this time.
Anyone else can jump in. This is a group conversation. What?
Oh, just some spices and some mushrooms I collected down one of the tunnels.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What kind of mushrooms?
Oh, you know, cave mushrooms. Ones with the little purple stripes in the gills.
Are these commonly known to be edible?
They're not known to be poisonous, but they're not what somebody would normally look for.
Okay, so calories.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
She shyly grins and goes back to eating.
Ezri tries to make sure that there's always food in her mouth from this point forward.
Yeah, there are multiple other times where somebody looks at you like they're trying to engage you in conversation, and then they stop, like as if they're waiting for a moment to ask, when, so they don't interrupt you while your mouth's full, and then you're just constantly shoveling something in.
Yeah, that's whenever she eats like half a potato. She's just like, all right.
So this goes on uncomfortably for about 45 minutes, because I imagine Ezra doesn't just eat one bowl.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah. As you guys are finishing up eating, what does Ezri hear Magpie and Ilsen saying to each other as they come into the Enclave?
I feel like it's got to be something. Oh, you're asking them. I wanted to pick.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to direct the conversation, that'll be great.
I was just imagining it would just be something like, no, you.
It's probably what's devolved into, honestly.
You know when, like, two people, like, come home and there's, like, a weird icy silence and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that, but, like, Magpie keeps teasing Ilsen. Like, she won't, like, stop it. Like, you're just sitting here like, no, you're taking it too far. Stop.
And Ilsen, once we got into, like, Enclave territory, she would have dropped her guise and just worn her normal face.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess Ilsen is just kind of, like, stony face, keeping it quiet as Magpie keeps throwing barbs at her.
Oh, come on, baby, you know I'm better than you. Who almost got killed last mission?
Ezri, do you have a moment?
Yes. No, I don't want to say instead. Actually, out of habit, Ezri just eats another bite. And so it's just like a little bit of like an awkwardly long... It's like really tough piece of meat too. And so then finally she's like, yes. Yeah. Let's go to the storeroom.
So have you been up on the surface recently?
Yes. Wait, how recently?
In the past few days. After our... excursion with Senator Stibbs.
Oh, no. No.
They're looking for your cop mask.
Oh, I ditched that. Yeah.
Okay, good. They've labeled that one a cop killer, so that's fun. Also, the Transit Guild is looking out for Magpie and has her face plastered all over the upstairs as well.
Magpie? Really?
Really? Really?
Oh, come on, Magpie. Where is that gusto I've been hearing for the past 30 minutes of how so much better that you are?
I mean, it's impressive how I'm better than you, and we're at this level. That's how low the bar is, honey.
Okay. I have an idea about how you guys can prove who's better. You see this? Something's eating on this food. I need someone to find out what and get rid of it.
Are you sure someone isn't sleep eating?
Never sure that someone's not sleep eating.
Or just eating and lying.
I don't think someone's eating and lying.
Does Ezri have like a little sample of bite marks or whatever?
Yes, that's why she took him to the storeroom. So she just like points out perfect. The...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so notably the food that she points out is actually... It's not like in a bag or anything like that. It's in a wooden box with like a lid on a hinge, essentially. And when you open it up, you can see that there's like some of this that's been set aside. And it does look like something's nibbled on it. It's been chewing on the jerky and tearing bits of the jerky off. The tearing looks a little like rough. It doesn't look like this is a human mouth unless somebody's doing an amazing job of, like, if they were deliberately trying to put it in their mouth at just the right angles, like the minimum of teeth actually tore into it.
Is there a pattern to the food that it's going after? Like, specifically in the meat or specifically this side of the storehouse or something like that?
Specifically the meat. There's been some, like, munching of fruit, but not, like, heavily so, just like sort of almost like experimental little bites. Find that they clearly didn't eat it because it's like the pieces sitting on the ground next to the fruit.
Okay.
But mostly like the cured meats and things like that, because that's really all that was in that food supply.
Cured meats, cheese, hardtack, charcuterie.
Okay. Ilsen will ask, where did you get this food from? But Samson is asking with that, is this the same food thing that Ezri pulled in Episode 1 or 2.
It's the same food, but not the same container.
Okay. Ezri, where did you get this food?
Picked it up from the surface. Standard black market food deal.
Ilsen will sniff it. Is there something put on here?
When you sniff it, it just smells like dried meat.
Can I tear off a corner and just chew it, see if it tastes like anything?
Sure. It's tasty. You know, for something that isn't like cellophane wrapped or anything like that, it's just as moist as like some of the best, like, thick jerky that you might get somewhere.
you know, two or three of these, and you could buy these for $20 a bag. Magpie, are you just going to stand there, or?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a competition.
It is, and you are just standing there, possibly forgetting where you are, what time it is.
No, I'm just waiting for baby to finish.
Am I in the way?
Often.
Are you baby? Is that what you prefer to be called?
No, absolutely not.
It's the best name to call Ilsen, because it suits her.
There's a little rattling in the shelves of the storeroom, and then
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
Magpie's going to use tracking on the jerky.
On the jerky? There it is.
Okay, so tracking. Yeah, I think with your training, this would be a 9.
16.
Okay, so you definitely notice some sort of patterns to how this food was nibbled. You also notice what looks to be a little ways down in the storeroom, another piece, like partial piece of jerky sitting there that's also been nibbled.
Just gonna follow the trail. Casually.
Just casually, so, like, wandering off? Okay, so you wander off and you notice a tiny dried orange gunk on the ground right next to, like, a gap between the seams of the two walls. It's a decent sized gap. Like, it's something a person couldn't fit in, but anybody else, like, it's clearly something that must have at some point accidentally gotten broken while the enclave was trying to set up in here.
Could we use lore to find out, like, the typical pest that you would find in an enclave such as this?
I don't think you would need to roll for that, because I think that's, like, a fact of life in Lave. So, their cave lizards are usually the most common pests. They're sort of, like, they're lizards, but they're about the size of a mouse and prefer to eat the same sort of things a mouse would.
Chocolate.
They're very nimble. Other kinds of pests, there's insect-type pests that you can get as well. At this tier, it would be highly unlikely that there would be... You do get down lower in Lathe, since it's on the shore, these weird little crabs that kind of come out of the water, go into places, steal food, and leave. So those are the most common things. There are other kinds of animals that are sometimes along the warrens, like in the tunnels. That's not unusual to have, like, these dog-sized rats that wander around, that they kind of live in there. But those things, that would be too big for to, like, come in here unnoticed.
Wow. Can they still collapse like normal rats?
What?
Like, rats share the property with mice where they, like, can compress their body significantly and fit through tiny spaces.
Yeah, so when I say a dog-sized rat, I guess what I'm thinking of is, like...
Rodent of unusual size.
Oh, God, what a...
More like the were-dog, like the were-fox. Bigger,
about that size, like... Yeah, like if it, like the size of a St. Bernard.
Have you seen that video of that thing that looks like a fox that's the size of a Great Dane?
What?
Yeah, it's...
That sounds like a Pokemon.
It actually looks like the fox Pokemon, like the new one.
So anyway, you've found this gap here that has, like, a little bit of nibble next to it, and then there's that, like, not far away from that gap, there's this, like, weird little, like, congeal, like, orangey-yellow stuff.
Poo. Roll to see if it's poo without having to touch it.
It doesn't look like poo.
E.
No.
But if it's a lizard?
So, either it is a leaving you don't really want to think about, or it's, like, some vomit or something like that.
Fair. Would you say this is enough evidence for Magpie to go back and declare herself the winner?
I mean, I think Ezri wanted you guys to find it and get rid of it.
You just need the ye olde steel wool.
What?
If you have a gap that mice or rodents or other small critters are coming through, you put steel wool in it.
Dan, didn't you just say these rats are about the size of St. Bernard?
Yeah, but I think she's just using it as a context for pests in general.
Yes, well, I would drop into our supply of steel wool, but we don't have one.
So wait, did Magpie come back and tell us what she found?
She did, and she was going to say, see, better than you.
Well, where is it? Where is the rodent?
I don't think it's a rodent.
Where is its body?
And it's not something you want to stick your hand in.
I believe the competition was to find the creature and kill it, right, Pebbles? Pebbles?
I'm not sure, baby.
Oh.
About killing it. Making it stop, getting rid of it, yes.
I mean, you can try and kill it, but As small and baby as you are, I do not think you'll fit through this hole.
Ilsen is not going to say anything and leave the storeroom and try to find the muck that Magpie found.
Okay.
I'm going to roll for stealth to sneak up on Ilsen so I can whisper in her ear.
Maggot.
Okay. So since you knew where Magpie came back from, that you're heading out towards, I think it's only a 3 to find the thing.
Great. I have perception.
Okay, so you're definitely going to find it. Magpie, roll for stealth and sneaking.
Yeah, I'm trained in sneaking.
Okay, so you have a plus 3.
19. Plus 3. 21.
All right.
21.
22.
Don't help her.
You can use perception, so that'll give you a plus 3.
I am going to use perception. I am going to use an intellect edge.
This is adorable. I love this.
I'm glad you're loving it. 17.
Well, so, Magpie, what does Ezri see when Magpie decides to go, like, sneaking after Ilsen? Is she doing, like, the dramatic, like...
Yes. Like, she's being, like, exaggerated to just be like, this is how much better I am. Like, she's being an asshole.
Okay. If I remember correctly, you were sneaking up so that when Ilsen finds the mess, you're leaning into her ear behind her and saying...
Lick it. Because I'm imagining she's going to be, like, bent down to examine it. And so she's just going to, like, almost, like, bend over her and, like, just in her ear, just say, lick it.
Ilsen will be startled and jump a little bit. No, you lick it.
This is what Ezri sees as she catches up to you guys, is this conversation. No, you lick it.
Ezri will take a look at the hole in the side of the structure, and she's going to leave these two to their shenanigans, but she's going to go get, or was it Sarkis? Does a lot of the carpentry, or was that a different?
It was Sarkis.
Okay.
Yeah, you go get Sarkis. He comes over with you.
So we found where that pest is coming in.
Oh. Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, I could seal it up, but then it might be stuck in there.
There's not a way out?
I mean, I don't know.
All right, hang on. Ezri will just, like, walk up in between, I don't know, these two, and lean down and just, like, stick her head in the hole. Sets a glow globe inside before she does that.
Okay, so you set a glow globe in there, and, you know, it lights up things, and just for a moment, you see the reflection of two eyes before it darts around a corner.
Ezri will say, stand back, and she'll get out her sledge, claw side out, and make a bigger hole.
Okay. Sarkis is like, just avoid the load-bearing part over there. So this will be a 9, Ezri.
Okay.
Actually, I think this would be a 6. This isn't actually that hard to do. I mean, it's...
Okay. Do this raw, then. Or...
Okay, so you swing the claw side of the sledgehammer and thinking that you're going to, you know, really dig into that section of wall and make it there, but then it goes in, like, just a little bit, and then it hits something hard, and there's the sound of metal against metal.
Ugh, found the stud. She'll take half step back.
And it's just, your hammer's, like, shaking in your hand of the vibration.
Like when you accidentally, like, if you're playing pinata and you accidentally hit the pole, that it's, like...
Oh.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, God. I did that once with a baseball bat. It was terrible.
Ooh.
Yeah, she'll line it up and she'll try again.
This time you need to spend effort.
Yep.
But that makes it a 3.
17.
Okay. You make the hole a little bigger. It's definitely, like, this hole goes in a little ways, and it's almost like a weird part of the building. It's not leading out. It's like you've found another section of this building back here that doesn't look like it was designed for people to be in. It's not really wide enough for that. Definitely, like, sort of you have to squeak yourself through, but it's like almost like a weird hidden corridor in between the walls here.
Ilsen will stop arguing with Magpie when she notices that. How old is this building?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't check, you know, the historical records before we occupied this place.
Blueprint searchers.
Ezra's like, I didn't check for the blueprints before we started illegally occupying this condemned infrastructure.
Didn't go to City Hall.
Still, you guys have been here for a while. I thought Somebody must have. I thought somebody would have found all the little nooks and crannies of this place.
Oh, you can never find those.
No, not even you.
Ezri will step into this little crawl space.
Okay, it's a tight squeeze because Ezri's huge, as established.
Yeah.
But you can sort of, like, shimmy your way down it.
Okay. She'll have gotten the glow globe.
Okay. You definitely have to do, like, a little bit of a lean down, because at least this part of the corridor isn't really wide enough for you to, like, kneel.
Side to side.
Or isn't wide obliques enough for you to bend over. Like, yeah, yeah. Wilson and Magpie could probably do it, you know, have more flexibility in here, but that's because they're not, you know, mountains.
Yeah.
We're petite little ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Is there room enough to, like, follow Ezri? Or is it not that kind of space?
I'm just thinking about three people in this tiny crawl space and then, like, just some, like, Three Stooges shit where, like, it's like, no, go forward, no, go back.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to be, like, one after the other. It's not like you could, you know, get side to side. You have to kind of be like a human centipede.
Oh! Nuts.
You could just say in a line. That's fine. But this is, there's more to this room than just a tiny little crawl space to crawl into.
Yeah, it seems like it goes for like 2 meters, and then it seems to like branch off into a T. From what Ezri can see now, I don't know if Ilson got a good look at that before Ezri entered and got in the way.
Well, for doing this. Pebbles, are you good in there?
I'm great, baby. All right. Which way did the creature dart, left or right?
It darted to the right, as far as you can tell.
Ezri will look to the right.
You look down there. The corridor's a little wider here. It doesn't go for very far, which makes sense. I mean, if this is between the walls and things like that, then you would presume that it wouldn't go much farther. Otherwise, like, if there was really walls thick enough to accommodate this, you guys would have noticed it in most of the main areas. But it is a little bit wider. It seems to go for, like, again, roughly, like, 2.5 meters. As you kind of turn the corner to look, you see that reflection of two glowing eyes again, and then it darting off to the left from wherever it is.
Okay. This way. This way.
What?
Oh, Magpie's on the outside, FYI.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll send a Magpie. Stayed bickering outside.
Ezri will turn around and be like, God damn it. And then continue to follow the creature.
Okay. So you follow this creature, like as you catch up to where that next turn was and you turn left and you find what looks to be like a little tiny circular space. On one side of it, there's definitely some stolen supplies, like things that were tugged away, like a whole piece of jerky and things like that was dragged here. But the thing that you notice is you don't see anything, like everything else, like it was sort of like low level. Where it was, like, something that might be, like, at most, like, as tall as your calves. But when you look in there, there's nothing on the ground or, you know, at eye level.
Ezri, look up?
Yeah, so up near the top of this little space, nestled in between, like, what looks to be some unfinished work here on the construction, there is perched up there something furry.
Aww.
With a long, slender tail. Two pointed ears, slit green eyes, something that looks a lot like what we would think of as a calico cat.
Aww.
If it had bat wings.
Aww.
And it has a weird like thing on its neck.
Like a biological thing that's a part of its body, or is it wearing like a cowbell?
Nah, it's like some sort of fabric that's tied in sort of like a knot.
It wears clothes. Hey. Buddy.
It looks at you, twitches one of its left ears, and just keeps staring at you.
Are you... Well, does Ezri recognize this creature, I guess?
No.
Not at all.
You've never seen anything like this before.
How high up is it? Ezri's pretty tall. Can Ezri reach it?
It's tall enough that, like you could reach it. You would have to kind of hop to do it. Like, it's not like a tiptoes type thing. But yeah, you could definitely try to like sort of hop and grab at the same time.
I don't think she'll start with that. I think she will hold her hand out.
It watches you hold your hand out and just stares.
Sniff it.
It just stares at you. Its tail twitches.
Ezri will hold out a chunk of meat in her hand.
You see them kind of stretch their neck out. Like you can clearly tell they're sniffing. sniffing the air, and then this cat opens its mouth slightly.
It's for you. Yep.
It looks up at you, looks down at the meat, steps back a couple inches, jumps off this thing that it's on up against the wall, and then it extends its wings and comes swooping down like a bat to grab the food.
Ezreal's very still.
It snatches the food out of your hand, flaps its wings, sort of bounces off the wall and goes back up and starts chewing on the jerky.
Okay.
It finishes eating, licks its paws, stretches its wings one more time, looks at you, opens its mouth, and says, well, that was awfully kind of you.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I didn't expect you to be able to talk. That's cool. What brings you here?
Oh, I followed you here.
From where?
You were carrying the food. I lost track of you for a little while, but...
Oh, from the surface. Okay. Why did you hide?
I needed to get food.
Do you want to live in this crawl space?
It's relatively secure. Nice and private.
I mean, you can live in this crawl space.
Well, I am.
Correct. I'm just saying that if you want to eat food, you could eat with us. And maybe we could just talk about which and how many foods you're taking, because we also need to eat.
That doesn't sound like a great deal for me.
Why not?
Well, it sounds like you want to give me less food.
I just like to coordinate food consumption.
I'm more of an independent sort.
You're very independently living in a secret room in somebody else's house, eating their food?
Yes.
Okay, I see. Well...
I mean, I assume you guys steal the food, too.
I bought that food, first of all.
What does that mean?
I wish I didn't know the answer to your question. Currency's a real bitch.
It's really the patterns of debt that really make up a market.
Oh, so you're fucking with me?
Just a little.
All right, cool. Well...
I think we got off on the wrong foot, and their wings extend, and it swoops down to the floor, comes over, and walks between your legs.
All right, where are we going? What do you want? No, show me. I'll follow you.
Oh, and when I said between your legs, like kind of going in between, like curling around your legs.
Oh, not like walking through past.
Not walking away, just sort of almost just going between your legs in a figure eight pattern.
So do you like ear scritchies?
Let's work ourselves up to that. Let me sniff your hand.
Okay. She holds out her hand.
So the cat sniffs it a little bit and then kind of brings their head just a little bit into the sides. Like, so bringing not so much the ear, but just sort of the part of their head right before the ear against your palm.
Ezri will let it cat.
Okay. It cats. All right, then. What are you called?
Ezri, what are you called?
These days, I go by Mr. Tompkins.
All right, Mr. Tompkins.
God damn it.
Well, do you want to meet the others, or...
They gonna mess with me?
Not if I tell them not to.
Interesting. All right, then.
All right, then. And Ezri will lead the way back.
Yeah, and at one point, Mr. Tompkins gets impatient with you and kind of jumps between your legs and... gets up ahead of you. They don't leave the wall before you get there, but they definitely like have zoomed forward through these gaps and are currently cleaning themselves like just out of sight for Ilsen and Magpie.
So Ezreal pop through.
No, you know what the difference between you and me is? I'm actually trying. You're just fumbling your way through and succeeding.
I know. Isn't that frustrating?
It's so frustrating. You have the audacity to say you're better when you're not even trying.
I know. Imagine how much better I could be if I tried.
All right. I figured it out. So I solved the situation. So I guess I'm the best. People, meet Mr. Tompkins.
This cat with bat wings like comes out with this like weird knotted fabric at his neck. It's a bow tie. He's wearing a bow tie.
Either way, it was adorable, no matter what, you know. Maybe it's like a cravat or ascot.
Yes. I had an ascot in my head. You named it?
Mr. Tompkins doesn't need someone to name them.
It starts grooming its paws.
Mr. Tompkins is a sentient being.
And baby wanted to kill them.
Just continues licking its paws.
I didn't want to kill them.
Potato, potato.
The cat is definitely staring at you now with not happy eyes.
Just stirring the pot.
Like the ears like tucked back.
Stirring the pot.
Well, is this still a pest situation?
No, this is a guest situation.
A guest?
Mr. Tompkins is a guest here. Mr. Tompkins lives here.
Mr. Tompkins lifts his back leg and starts licking his own asshole.
She's going to shoot a glance at Sarkis, just like, is this normal? Is this...
He looks utterly perplexed.
Well, actually, Ilsen, Magpie, you could explore inside of there and see where this whole crawlspace situation goes. Sarkis, if we could get, like, a... I'm sorry, Mr. Tompkins, a cat? A cat door? In here. And Mr. Tompkins, if you want to come with me, I'll actually introduce you to Tibu. We'll see what we can do about setting out some food for you.
Mr. Tompkins gets up, walks over, rubs his head against your leg, and then just starts expectantly waiting for you to start walking.
All right. At that, Ezri will sweep out with her clearly sentient talking cat and go find Tibu.
Okay. What do Magpie and Ilsen do?
Ilsen's just going to, like, kind of stare after Ezri in silence, just kind of like, what the fuck? And then she's going to put on her mask, thinking that something is mind-controlling Ezri, so...
Magpie follows.
And then for now, yeah, Ilsen will go into the hole and poke around.
Magpie follows Ezri without a care in the world.
Magpie follows Ezri and just leaves Ilsen.
Ilsen starts going in. Yeah, Ilsen, you start going in, and you notice you don't hear anybody behind you.
Immediately, she'll kind of, like, throw it out an elbow, expecting, like, Magpie to be right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God. That's it.
Okay. So you reach that T-junction, goes to the right and goes to the left.
Ilsen will go to the right.
Okay. So you go to the right, it goes for about 2.5 meters, and then there is a turn to the left.
She'll take it.
Okay. That leads you into a weird little circular space.
This is the space that Tompkins and Ezri were just in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In these back hallways, does this give the vibe of, like, secret passage?
It could be. In fact, honestly, that's the kind of thing that Ilsen might think about. It's definitely got vibes like that to you.
Okay. And then while she's still in this kind of circular room, can she, like, kind of try to glean what the, like, original intention was, if any's left over past the scraps and probably scat?
Mr. Tompkins doesn't seem to have pooped in here or anything like that. He must be going somewhere else to relieve himself.
Bitten in the crawl spaces.
Yeah, so can I glean the original intention of this room?
Yeah, go ahead. It is going to be a glean that. Let's make it a 12.
12. Would perception apply here?
Not really, because you're trying to understand what you're seeing as opposed to spot something.
Okay. And then just to double check, understanding Numenera would not apply here?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay, good. Then I'll just roll the 12 straight. That's 7.
Yeah, you're not sure. There's a part of you that desperately wants to believe that these are, like, secret passages and maybe this room has, like, hidden doors or anything like that. But the rational part of you knows that it's just as likely a weird engineering choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not sure what it is. Maybe this was just, like, supposed to make it easier for maintenance. Maybe there was something that was supposed to go in here that never got done. Especially with these old buildings in Lathes, particularly in the Warrens, Ilsen, it wouldn't be surprising to you if some weird, like, corners were shaved in the construction.
Okay. Yeah, I think part of her is definitely, like, getting caught up in, like, oh, secret fantasy, secret places, what's behind here. But I think another part of her is feeling anxiety, because I don't think this is the first secret passage she encountered.
Mm-mm. No, definitely not.
All right, if she can't glean anything from... this little room, she'll go back to that T-intersection, take that left path.
Okay, so you go back, you take that left path. In about a meter and a half, you find a spot that kind of goes off to the right and one goes off to the left. But then this does keep going for about another 2 meters. You're at the end. There could be, it's a little dark down in that end. So it's not, you can't tell if it's like an intersection or a dead end just yet. Mm-hmm. But
I have an explorer's pack. I got a glow globe in there, I think. I'll pull one out to light the way as I continue.
Okay. As you continue, to the right, the smell hits you first. You've found where Mr. Tompkins likes to relieve himself.
Oof.
As you're passing the thing that you saw to the left, that looks like another, like, weird little... This one's not circular in shape. It's square and seems to be, like, where the circle had, like, unfinished bits of it that were kind of... Which was what Mr. Tompkins was, like, perching on earlier. Mm. This one is seemingly like made perfectly smooth. Like it's definitely brickwork in here, but it doesn't look shoddy at all like the rest of these areas. This looks like something that was meant to be seen.
Does Ilsen know roughly where she is in the rest of the building? Like what room should be nearby?
You're definitely not in any spot in this building that where the enclave goes. Like, sure, you're definitely back in like some corner, like not where they store anything, not where they set up or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And then just to double check this whole space. So does this whole kind of secret passage kind of fork off into two different passages, one leading to the circle room, one leading to the square room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Mr. Tompkins was basically relieving himself in the corner to the square room. All right. Then are there any additional clues seeing the second room for Ilsen to latch onto? Any like patterns or markings that seemed like just junk in the other room, but seeing them again here?
Give me a perception roll of 9.
Perception roll of 9. That's a 6 with the training. Oh my god. I'll just stick with the 2. I need to save this XP.
Okay. Yeah, you don't notice anything in the square room. And down at the end of this hallway, it does reach a dead end at the far end, you can now see. But there are 2 weird things here that don't look like they belong. Like everything else you've been walking through has been secret passage, you know, that kind of thing. Except here, at this dead end on the walls, are really intricate carved sconces that seem to be in the shape of humans.
Sconces with humans in them, or sconces that could have a human safely or comfortably stand or sit?
No. They're sconces that are carved in the shapes of humans.
Oh, okay. What do these humans look like? Do they look happy? Look well-dressed?
Well, so if you get a little bit closer to see them, they are definitely human. They both look relatively... happy is the wrong word. They've got sort of cherub faces to them. And notably, they are carved wearing only togas.
The style reminiscent of the wealthy Olathe.
Yeah, maybe it was sort of, you know, close enough. Like, you've definitely seen, now that you've been here a while, like, things, even when you were in the museum before, of, you know, the older form of toga dress of Corpus, like, the stuff that was, like, supposedly depicting, like, you know, easily 100 years ago.
Okay.
If not older.
Is there anything else in this? These sconces are in a corridor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're at the end of the dead end corridor.
Okay.
Pull 1.
It's not a lever, right? Do I not know what a sconce is?
That could be.
I thought a sconce was kind of like a little, like inset in a wall where like a little object or something, like a little shelf would be.
No, it's like a little thing that you put like the torch in, isn't it?
Like a lighting fixture. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can like pull the sconce or like rotate it. That's the thing they keep doing in movies when they're like, secret passage, let me turn the sconce.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something else. She's absolutely going to pull a sconce.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Which one are you going to pull?
Are there 2 or 3?
There are two. A man and a woman.
Well, she can pull both, I'm just saying. But she'll pull the woman one.
I like Samson. Evens or odds?
Evens.
Okay. Stace, roll a die. Tell me if you get even or odd.
Odd.
You pull the sconce. The ground underneath you opens up, and you fall onto what feels like some sort of structured slide, and you start sliding down. We cut back over to Ezri and Magpie and Mr. Tompkins coming out of this storeroom area. Tuvi is over near the sort of gathering place they ate dinner at. So there's not many people there. She's just kind of getting everything back into place.
Hey, Tibu.
Hey, Ezri.
Hey, I want to introduce you to our guest who's been eating our food. This is Mr. Tompkins.
I thought your name was Magpie.
Magpie? Ezri looks back at Magpie. You leave Ilsen by herself?
Yeah.
Will you not do that?
Do you mean you want me to remedy that now or in the future?
Now would be ideal.
You think the baby will be in trouble when she goes into the wall?
I think I asked you to do something.
Magpie does like an extremely heavy dramatic sigh and like trudges back. Kind of like asking a teenager to do anything.
Ezri has seen that exact look on Geeth's face.
Yeah, exactly. Tivu, you know, looks at you and says, like, so, you mean that thing?
Yes, this Mr. Tompkins.
Mr. Tompkins, huh?
Yes.
What's that around his neck?
I haven't done a check on gender. Seemed rude. So,
Mr. Tompkins' tail twitches.
Anyway, thought a better solution would be for us to set out food for Mr. Tompkins so that Mr. Tompkins doesn't have to tear into our long-term storage.
Okay. What is he? Are you sure that you want a pet right now?
It's not a pet situation. So Mr. Tompkins is apparently sentient and speaks. So not sure it's a pet situation.
Okay.
So much as a... like I've said several times now to several people, guest situation.
Okay.
Oh, also we found a weird crawl space behind the wall in the storage room that we're checking out.
Okay, that's definitely more important.
Oh, okay, so I guess I'll go help check that out if you want to give Mr. Tompkins the tour.
All right, she looks at Mr. Tompkins. I'm giving you the tour, huh? And Mr. Tompkins walks away from her, hops up onto one of the chairs, curls up, and seemingly goes to sleep.
Or hang out with Mr. Tompkins. Again, not a pet.
Listen, do you know anything about this animal? I mean, is it venomous? What's the deal?
I don't know. I know that it lives in the crawl space. I know that it eats our food. I know that it has spots. I know that it has wings. I know that it can talk. Those are all the things that I know.
It talks.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go explore more. Let me know if you need anything.
I will. She looks at you with worried eyes.
Ezri's just thinking of going to bat for this furry little thing, and it won't even talk.
As she should.
But then she'll, like, awkwardly nod, and then understanding exactly why she's not being taken seriously. She shoots Mr. Tompkins at, like, just a daggerous look. I don't think daggerous is a word, but that's the look. And then she heads back to the crawl space.
Okay. So you head back to the crawl space. Is Magpie going into the crawl space? Was that what she was already doing when Ezri catches up?
Yeah. It's going very slowly, though. Hope you're not in danger.
Fine. I'm totally fine.
So, Ezri, yeah, you get to that gap in the walls. And you see Magpie, you know, sort of shimmying her way in. Well, she initially shimmies her way in, but then Magpie can also sort of like walk directly straight ahead because her shoulders aren't as wide.
Yeah, Ezri sucks it in, squeezes along behind her.
Okay. You guys reach that T intersection that goes right and left.
I already went right last time. Maybe we should look left. Or actually, I can show you Mr. Tompkins' room if you want to see it. Magpie? Magpie?
I mean, let's go see his room first. Maybe we'll be fine. It's fine.
Okay.
To take us to Mr. Tompkins' room.
So this is where Mr. Tompkins lives. You can see where Mr. Tompkins sleeps. You can see Mr. Tompkins' pile of food.
Smart.
You point out his perch.
His perch.
Very smart. You should get, like, netting on the ceiling so Mr. Tompkins can climb more.
That's a really good idea.
We're redesigning this room.
All right, let's see what else we have down here. Do you want to lead the way, or do you want to cower behind me?
It's not so much cower, but mope. I thought we were making baby more independent.
All right, this way.
Okay, so you guys get back to that junction and head left. Again, it only takes a couple of meters before you come across this like door that's a little bit to the right. That is definitely where Mr. Tompkins has been relieving himself.
All right.
To the left is a door that is like a room that is like perfectly square with beautiful mason work in place. And at the end of the hallway, there are two human-shaped sconces.
This is weird, right?
Yes. Normally they aren't shaped like this, maybe.
No, I meant that we don't see Ilsen anywhere.
Oh. Maybe she got better at hiding.
Ilsen?
No answer.
Ezri will go back down to the junction and she'll yell back towards the storeroom. Sarkis!
Yeah?
Did Ilsen come back out?
I haven't seen her.
Okay, there's some weird shit back here. Keep everyone, tell everyone to stay away until we figure it out.
You got it, boss.
Thank you. Don't call me boss.
Whatever.
Ezri will knock on the walls, not like with her, I was about to say, with her tool, with her sledge. She's not like trying to break them or anything. She's just trying to listen for.
So which walls are you knocking on?
I think she'll do like the end of the hallway, like past the sconces, like where like.
Okay. So not like in any of those other rooms.
No, not right now.
Okay, so you go down to where the sconces are and you tap it. It's definitely not like stone in this section here, or at least not visible stone, but it definitely seems like a pretty firm, solid wall.
Maybe we should light these?
Magpie does this heavy sigh, and I guess we're going to do tracking. Ugh.
Okay, this is going to be, because you guys have been wandering down these halls a little bit, that's going to make the tracking more difficult. Guess you've probably walked over everywhere where Ilsen walked. So I'm going to say this is going to be a 15 tracking.
Counterpoint, I doubt many people are walking back here. So I think it wouldn't be that difficult because we'd run into an area which has a lot of dust without being disturbed. So we'd be like, huh, these are a lot of cobwebs that certainly Ilsen would have run into. So clearly she hasn't been here.
A lot of cobwebs, except around the lady's sconce.
Okay, fair enough. Then it's a 12.
Okay, so it's a 9 with my
training. Ezri will help, so she gives 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ezri provides 2 assets, so it's now a 3.
Holy shit.
Well, I got a 7.
Okay, so Ilsen definitely came this way. Doesn't look like Ilsen went into either of those 2 rooms that are just before the sconces. In fact, Ilsen's trail goes like dead centrally in front of the sconces.
Maybe baby's a pervert and she started stroking the ladies.
That's a great point. And Ezri will reach out and stroke the lady.
Nothing happens. It's actually really well carved. It's carved in such a way that like when you cross, like you can feel the textures, like where their arms meet, the carving there kind of captures that like slight bulge of flesh around the armpit.
That kind of looks like a butt.
Yeah.
Butter armpit.
It's like you're touching a real woman.
No, I think, Ezri, you need to use a farmer grass. Just reach out and grab her.
Ezri will palm it harder. Yeah, she's, I think Ezri's probably been exposed to enough adventure novels or something, or adventures to just finally pull, pull on the sconce.
The woman or the man?
The woman, because of the woman comment that Magpie made.
So you tug on that and you hear a weird grinding noise, like something caught that shouldn't have. And for a moment you think, that's weird. And then the floor opens up, swallowing you and Magpie both onto this slide going.
Fuck! Ezri will try to know what to do and hook her sledge over the edge of the floor.
You can do that next episode.
No! You paused for too long, Daniel.
Stace, something about this episode.
Oh, Mr. fucking Tompkins. And I feel like we've run into Mr. Tompkins before some iteration of Mr. Tompkins, right?
Yeah, he was. He made his first appearance in the Die campaign.
Yeah, so this might not be the first time we get fooled by Mr. Tompkins. Nor probably the last, but I'm very thrilled to have Mr. Tompkins here in the Enclave, especially because I think it introduces some great cosplay opportunities. All I got to do is put a bow tie on Starbuck and she's looking at me like, don't you dare.
Some of those little fake bat wings for the cats.
I know we don't know much about Mr. Tompkins, but can we canonize it that he's a planeswalker and he is always the same Mr. Tompkins?
Oh, that'd be good. Man. Yes.
I was hoping as soon as you were like, as soon as there was a pest problem, I was like, pet, 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 pest. And instead we get a chaos cat being, which is not, you know, which is pretty normal, actually. So.
And you might remember, too, that when you got the food from the guy at the train track, you when you first looked in there, something had nibbled at the food.
Oh, right.
Cool. Well. We have a segment that we do each week called Player Intrusions. That's where we offer you, the listener, an XP to check out something that we think you'd really dig. This week, it is Samson's turn. Samson, what would you offer our listeners an XP to check out?
I would offer the listeners an XP to check out the movie Ran by Akira Kurosawa. This is currently available on Amazon Prime. This is one of his latter day movies. So it's in color and it is beautiful. It's surprising how well he adjusted to color when that became like a thing that you could do with movies. But anyway, Ran is basically a retelling of King Lear, but set in the Sengoku period of Japan. And I never learned the King Lear story. So this was a first for me and it was surprising. It's beautifully told, beautifully shot. It's also very cool how you see, like, because it's a historical film, so you get to see like a lot of like how Japanese warlords acted, and a lot of stuff kind of makes sense to see it like all in universe. Like a lot of rooms, for those of you who don't know, are very barren in the Sengoku period, just because they like that kind of Spartan aesthetic, because it's very warlike. Because There's a good chance your castle's about to be sacked any moment, so don't give them everything if they take it. Beautiful story, beautiful tragedy about war and how no one gets out happy in the end. For those of you who don't know, King Lear story is basically this king, King Lear, has a bunch of land and decides to retire, so he doles it up.
Spoilers. King Lear spoilers. I'm going to need you to...
Well, it's a Shakespeare tragedy, so everybody dies. So
as they do.
No, yes, spoilers. Yeah, go ahead. So. Yeah, I was kidding.
Oh, you want me to do it? Okay, I couldn't tell. Yeah, so the King Lear storyline and this storyline is our main guy wants to retire, so he chops up his land and power, gives it to his three children. In the original story, I think it's daughters, and the movie it's his sons. One of the sons actually cares about him. The other two are assholes and just want his money. And then it just all falls apart after that because he wants to just travel around, hang out with his kids in retirement. And then there's like, no, you're not king anymore, so fuck off. And he just slowly loses his mind, loses his children in multiple different ways. There's a very cool battle scene halfway through the movie where it's just this orchestral movement as hundreds of people are dying in this castle takeover. So yeah, Ran, R-A-N, by Kurosawa. Beautiful movie. Highly recommend. On Amazon Prime.
Awesome. And if people wanted to tell us what they think of Ran or the podcast, how would they do that, Samson?
Well, they can find all our socials on our website, explorerswanted.fm. On there, you'll see that we are on Mastodon at explorerswanted at dice.camp. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Explorers Wanted Podcast. But best place to hang out with us is our Discord. ExplorersWanted.fm/Discord will take you to that place to hang out with us. Also, if it is within your means and you're feeling generous, patreon.com/explorerswanted is a great place to support us. Also, our Dice affiliate code with Die Hard Dice. If you, listener, use Explorers Wanted at checkout, you have 10% off your order. And that helps to support the show. So please do that.
And if you can't financially support us, we totally understand. Best thing you can do is to tell your friends, tell them why you like the show, why they should listen to it. Second best thing is to leave us a 5-star written review on a podcast directory like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. And if you didn't like the show, or if you just thought it was meh, well, I know it's bright out, but you should take off your sunglasses because your eyes are nature's gushers and the lenses get in the way of our pluckers. If you want to reach out to us individually on social media, you can. You can find me on Mastodon as Daniel at Anderlik, ANDRLIK.org.
I only wear sunglasses at night. You can find me on our Discord. I'm Stace Windu.
Oh, Stace took my sign off. I'm at Slam Potato on Twitter. Twitter? X? What? It's still Twitter. I'm at Slam Potato there and at Slam Potato at Dice.camp on Mastodon.
Sunglasses are nature. Safety goggles. I'm T with a unicorn on Threads, Instagram, and Twitch. My computer's just trying to shit the bed constantly, so I can't stream right now. So
I'm almost done building a new one.
Well, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week, as we will for every week in the foreseeable future. Have a good night, day, weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. And bye.
Bye.